Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Welcome back, my precious audience. I like to share with you that my goal from sharing this information in this program is that God will enable us to have His heart of love toward all people. Now, the Hebrews Old Testament and the New Testament emphasis is that God's people would be inclusive of many nationalities. And let me give you an example. A few verses I discovered. Psalm 87, verses 4 and 6. I will count Egypt and Babylon among those who know me. Also, Palestine and Tyre, and even distant Ethiopia. They have all become citizens of Jerusalem. Wow. Regarding Jerusalem, it will be said, everyone enjoys the rights of citizenship there. And when the Lord registers the nations, He will say they have all become citizens of Jerusalem. Of course, I didn't understand what these words mean. So I went to our conservative Christian commentators that wrote for the past few hundred years. I love researches, and I am used to that since I used to work as a defense lawyer in my father's legal firm in Egypt. I used to love to research every issue, every point, so I can prepare my case. So now I understood from what I read that God considered the people, any person who have faith in Him, as if he or she were born in Zion. Wow. Because I used to think that the Old Testament is only about the Jewish people, and, you know, they are the only people that can be called God's people. But according to this passage, you know, if you are born somewhere, you normally get citizenship. God is giving citizenship to the Egyptians, to the Iraqis, to the Palestinians, to the Lebanese, to the Africans. And God is saying that the surrounding nations, if they believe in me, they are my chosen. Amazing passage in the Bible, Psalm 87, verses 4 and 6. And I encourage you to read it and read some Christian commentaries about it. This is reinforced in the story of Esther. The book of Esther tells a story of God's deliverance of His people from their enemies. However, I noticed something for the first time, not long time ago, actually. I noticed what happened after their victory. It says in Esther chapter 8, verse 17, in every province and city, wherever the king's decree arrived, the Jews rejoiced and had a great celebration and declared a public festival and holiday. And many of the people of the land became Jews themselves, for they feared what the Jews might do to them. I stood in front of these words. Many of the people of the land became Jews themselves. Esther 8, verse 17. And I read, as I told you, it means that in the Hebrew scriptures, the term Jews did not mean someone who was racially pure and descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It simply meant someone who believed in the one true God and identified with God's people. So God's people have always been inclusive. They included the Jewish people, of course, but they also included many other people from different lands. But the land, too, I discovered recently that even the land, God's land, was always intended to be an inclusive land. That was a discovery for me. Welcoming people of other nationalities, wow, who worship the one true God. It was never given exclusively, absolutely, forever, only to the Jewish people, as a racial people. That's what I thought. Actually, that's what I learned from my pastors in America. And you tell me, Sammy, what made you change your mind to reach this conclusion? Well, how about I give you a couple of verses? I don't have time to explain to you everything I read, which were very powerful and convincing and biblical. But let me share with you from the scriptures the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 23. The land must never be sold, I am quoting, on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me, and you are only foreigners and strangers residing with me. God is speaking to the Israelite. Leviticus 25, verse 23. Please read it and read the wonderful Christian commentaries that was written. God is the owner of the land, and the Israelites are temporary residents. You are strangers and sojourners with me, emphasizes the Israelites' temporary and transient status on the land, a reminder of their reliance on God. What is the spiritual significance of this passage? The verse suggests just as land is not permanently sold, so too we are not permanently bound to earthly possessions or circumstances. We are sojourners on earth, and our true inheritance is with God. And we must obey God and follow His teaching to enjoy His blessings and favors. Well, what I understood from the most famous, respectable Christian scholars, commentators, you can read what they wrote, that God gave the Israelites a leasehold they could build their homes on His land. But the land remained His. And when God's people were thrown out of the land and they came back from exile, from Assyria and from the surrounding nations, God gave them these specific instructions through Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 21 to 23. Let me read what these couple of verses stated. Ezekiel 47. Thus you shall divide this land among yourselves, according to the tribes of Israel. It shall be that you will divide it by lot, as an inheritance for yourselves, and for the strangers who dwell among you, wow, and who bear children among you. They shall be to you as native born among the children of Israel. They shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall be that in whatever tribe the strangers dwells, there you shall give him his inheritance, says the Lord God. God declared at least three times that his will is that they share the land. Why God repeated his will three times in this passage and other passages? Because Israelites don't want to share the land any more than the Zionists want to share it today. Well, another passage, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 to 34. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Wow! Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That's mean to me, equal human rights. Isaiah 56, verses 3. And verses 6 and 7 reads, don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, the Lord will never let me be part of his people. Wow! I will also bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord, who serve him and love his name, who worship him. I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offering and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Wow! I always thought it's only for the Jewish people. No, actually, God's heart, even according to the Old Testament, is for all people. I love it. I love the God of the Bible. He is love, really, even in the Old Testament. Well, Isaiah 19:25 states, blessed be Egypt, my people, your people. That's what the Bible states. And Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. I love it because Egypt is the country that I was born and raised at. Isaiah 19:21, God said, the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. Wow! And in that day, they will acknowledge the Lord. We got about 80 million Muslims in Egypt. Actually, the good news is, in the past 40 years, something like that, about 4 to 5 million Muslims in Egypt became Christians. One of them is my wife. She was studying in Al-Azhar University to become a Muslim teacher and Arabic teacher. She became born again. She started talking about Jesus. They threw her in prison. God's purpose, my brothers and sisters, and my Muslim friends throughout the Bible was to build one new humanity of all nations. The book of Revelation chapter 7 declared this fact, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle John has given a vision of the future, a vision of heaven, and in it, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Hallelujah! Wow! I love it, I love it, I love it! And actually, many verses in the Old Testament, let me read to you a few of them, reveals God's heart of love for all people. Like in Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, I will bless you, and through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow! Genesis 17, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. Wow! Genesis 16, God promised Hagar, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly. God himself, in Genesis 16, called Abraham's unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. In the same verse, we read God heard Hagar's affliction. Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael crying. Genesis 21, God saved Hagar and Ishmael's life. You remember this powerful, emotional story brought tears out of my eyes. Hagar and Ishmael were dying from thirst in the desert. God did not let them die. God intervened, told Hagar, do not be afraid. I have heard Ishmael crying. Lift Ishmael up and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Wow! God opened Hagar's eyes. She saw a well of water, and God saved their lives. You know, God told me when I read this story, maybe 30 years ago, that this story proves that Ishmael's birth was not just simply a mistake Abraham did. No. If it were a mistake, God could have let them die. This story proves that God has special, wonderful plans from the birth of Ishmael and his descendants, namely Arabs and Muslims. It proves that God loves Ishmael and his descendants. Well, God would not have said these loving words and personally save their lives. He proved that he has good plans and a special love for Ishmael and his descendants, namely Arabs and Muslims. God gave Abraham circumcision as the sign of the covenant. Abraham took Ishmael and they were circumcised together in that same day. Genesis 21, we read, God was with Ishmael as he grew up. Hagar was called Abraham's wife one time in the Bible. And of course, I remember that Joseph's brothers sold him, you know, wanted to kill him. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites saved Joseph's life. This is funny. Okay, now 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 28-29. Ishmael's name and his first two born sons' names, Kedar and Nebaioth, were mentioned. Very important, because Isaiah 21 told us that the Arab people came from Kedar. Isaiah 60, God said, all Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offering on my altar. These are very significant words, prophecy. Why? Because at the time God inspired the prophet Isaiah to say these words, Kedar and Nebaioth had already been dead 1,000 years ago. Clearly, God was not referring to the person of Kedar and Nebaioth, rather to their descendants. Arabs and Muslims will believe in Jesus, my friends, and will be accepted by God. When God spoke to me and to my wife about starting our ministry, Glad News for Muslims, God put it in our hearts to write in our letterhead, John 10, verse 16. Jesus said, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so they shall become one flock and one shepherd. God wants you to know today that multitudes of these sheep are the descendants of Kedar and Nebaioth, the flocks and the rams of Kedar and Nebaioth that God mentioned in Isaiah 60. Hallelujah. God wants you to know that multitudes of Muslims and Arabs will be gathered with their families. They will believe in Christ before and after Jesus comes back again. I love it. I love it. And remember, in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, Arabs and Egyptians were evangelized in their own Arabic languages. Let me give you the good news. In the past 30, 40 years, something like that, more Muslims became Christians than in the past 1,400 years. That includes Muslims in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, all over the Muslim world, Indonesia, you name it. Let me give you some facts. I love facts. Revelation 5, people in heaven came from every language, every ethnic background. 2, Muslims are growing rapidly all over the world. 3, we know from prophecies that Muslims will be saved. 4, Muslims has been seeing visions and dreams of Jesus. 5, they are been coming to Christ in huge numbers all over the world. Conclusion, multitudes of Muslims will be saved. My friend, it's a done deal. The only question that remains to be answered is God is going to use you and me, or he's going to be using somebody else? And if we don't cooperate with God, God can use angels coming in human forms. My friend, that's why we can't afford to spend the time and the resources in politics, in anything but sharing Jesus effectively with all the people in the world, including Muslims.
I have a coworker who's Muslim. We talk here and there, but it's hard to answer some of his questions.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sami Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. I would love to come to your church to further motivate your fellowship to love all people, including Muslims, and share Jesus effectively with them. You can call me 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. And now you can listen to Glad News for Muslims wherever you hear your favorite podcast. If God puts it in your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sami Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.